Welcome to ITB's Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lund-Davies, with management consultancy Applied Approach. Today, our travel hero is YT, CEO and president of Travel Marketing Oulu. The topic of today's podcast is reaching the Indian traveler, and I'm very excited to discuss how the industry and individual destinations can attract these exciting, affluent, and eager travelers. Welcome, YT. We are delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you, Charlotte, very much. I'm very much looking forward to talking with you.
Wonderful. As I say, this is going to be a very, very interesting area to discuss. Before we dive in, though, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your role, and maybe what brought you to the travel industry in the first place.
Well, I used to work for 10 years in wellness industry. I was lucky enough to be able to open several fitness clubs and wellness clubs in hotels. And while I was working with the hotels, I got very interested in hospitality. And I was working in St. Petersburg, Russia, suddenly, and noticed that my interest turned from wellness to hospitality. And well, that was it for me. I started studying with Cornell University-led eCornell program and ended up opening my first hotel just 2 years after graduation. And after that, it was, you know, a fast highway all the way to Lapland from southern Finland, where I was working with the beautiful resorts with glass igloos and northern light skies. And I got to know the destination marketing as I was working in these resorts. And sort of after that, my way led to a very beautiful ski resort up in the northern Finland called Levi, where I was working as the president and CEO for the Visit Levi tourism organization. And that opened the world to me, basically, into tourism. After my wonderful years in Lapland, I saw that Oulu had been nominated the European Capital of Culture 2026, and they were looking for somebody to run the tourism marketing organization. And here I am.
Wonderful. We're very glad to have you with us today. And indeed, Finland is on many travelers' bucket list. I'm lucky enough to have been myself, but I still need to get a glimpse of those northern lights. But thank you for being with us today. Now, we've seen some impressive market growth as far as the Indian traveler, which we are specifically going to talk about today. So as far as the Indian traveler to Europe is concerned, and of course for this chat, very much into Finland, you mentioned that the country has seen a remarkable 57% growth in overnight stays in Finland alone from this audience. Can you remind us of the key factors driving this surge in demand?
Well, I would say that Finland has so much to offer. It's a very diverse destination country altogether. We are very well known for our nature travel, the happiness of Finnish people. I think that it's the seventh consecutive year we've been given the torch of being the happiest country and happiest people in the world. We have the cleanest air in the world. We are very safe. We have very good infrastructure. It's a great destination to market. And I think that the Northern Lights might be the most known reason for the Indian tourists to come here. But we also see a very strongly developing MICE segment. And that is definitely something that we are working very closely with. And of course, destination weddings being one of the reasons why we are in the eyes of the Indian.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to actually dive into both of those. I believe Finland, certainly, I don't know if it's as many as 7 years, but I know you pipped my native Denmark to the happiest people in the world. So we both represent countries that can claim that. And indeed, I can verify that the Finns are wonderful and very, very happy people. Listen, it will be nice to know if there are any other statistics or trends that you can maybe share with us as well.
Well, I would say that noteworthy thing is that Gen Z and millennials, they are very up and running a travel segment. They're growing middle class, which is now representing about the 31% of the population, is in the rise. And we are expecting, I think, by 2047, there to be about 60% middle class people people in living in India. So it is a very active market in this respect when it comes to aspects of traveling abroad. For Finland, as you mentioned, the overnight stays have been in a great increase. And I think that last year, 2023, there were about 27 million outbound travelers from India altogether, with their total spend about $33 billion. So the market is absolutely huge.
It is indeed. I think it's worth just going back, not just because I want to talk about the Northern Lights and again, but because I know so many do and have it on their wish list. And we obviously know that this is a massive draw internationally, not just for the Indian travelers. But which other destinations, and you've sort of touched on a few maybe already, but which other destinations specifically in Finland, and if you have some stats or information across Europe, have really captured this audience or is capturing this audience?
Well, I would say definitely Switzerland, Spain and Italy. They are often the leading strong cultural and cinematic appeal destinations, top of mind for Indian people. It's mainly and also possibly part of Bollywood's influence, because Bollywood has created some amazing films in Europe. And I think that it's also because of Switzerland, they have been promoting themselves for the Indian tourists very actively. And also Spain, I have to say that they've just seen about 40% jump in Indian tourism after they published a film from Bollywood, which was taking place in Spain. Well, other European countries, Greece and France, are sort of top of mind for Indian tourists, but also Southeast Asia, particularly Vietnam. It has seen a remarkable 230% increase in the Indian tourism compared to the pre-pandemic numbers. And of course, UK, it is a top favorite destination to visiting families. So many people from India have taking home in England, and so the tourism goes to visit families, family members in UK market. So I think these are the ones that come to my mind right now.
Yeah, very, very interesting. A couple of surprises there for me at least. What are the sort of some of the biggest challenges in promoting some of these destinations and countries to the Indian travelers? And I wonder, can it sometimes be a little bit difficult to sell specific experiences, and why might that be?
Well, the market is big, and I think that Indians, they rely heavily on the jungle drum. You need to have something specific in the destination for the Indian market to make interest in the destination. I think that also the market needs to be prepared to create great kind of service level for the Indian market. So there needs to be sort of a reputation of high level of service. I think that also the food needs to be sort of top notch for the Indian market. There needs to be vegetarian options, vegan options, and reputable Indian restaurants in the area for Indian market to pay interest. These are actually some of the small facts that I've learned during my years working with the market.
I love it. There's some really good and very tangible insight there, YT. Thank you for that. Let's dive in even further and furthermore understand sort of the Indian travel market, as it were. And let's talk maybe about motivation, because what to you stands out as maybe the primary motivation when Indian travelers choose an international trip or a destination?
Well, some of the statistics that I should bring up is still that the approximately 60% of the trips are leisure trips and personal trips. And only about 7% of the Indians are opt for package tours. So the Indian traveler, they like to stay about 5 nights, and they book ahead about 3.4 months in advance. That's the average. So I think that when you're thinking about that destination, needs to know, be known for something, to have a reason for the Indians to visit this area. And I think that the destination needs to be, as I mentioned, India ready. We in Oulu, for example, have created workshops and explained to our local excursion companies and hospitality companies, especially hotels, what the Indian client is expecting. And also we have a little bit trained the Indian tour operators as well to sell with not the kind of expectations that Indians might be when they're traveling domestically, but what is like authentic luxury in Lapland. It's not dozens of personal butlers and people who work around you, but it's the tranquility, the nature, being able to experience something that you wouldn't be able to experience in crowds. So these are some of the things. I think Indian travelers are a little bit harder target group to market hidden gems. So you need to have a bit of a international reputation or brand to be able to reach the Indian clientele if you are not a very well-known destination. But Indians are looking for sceneries, nature phenomena, adventures, and culture. So these are the things that are good to market to the Indian clients.
And to some extent, one would certainly have to point out also that they are new to international travel. This is a new and more affluent middle class that is still new to it. So there is at the early cusp of this particular traveler knowing and understanding what they're looking for. So I think naturally they will look towards areas or destinations or countries that can offer them something where they feel that they have a type of relationship already, possibly, is what I hear you are saying. When abroad, I always find this quite fascinating. What do Indian travelers like spending money on?
Well, the Indian traveler, I think, spends about $1,200 per trip, and Europe has a little bit higher spending than the rest of the destinations where Indians travel to. They do like to look for luxury goods. Shopping is very important. And I've noticed, for example, in Finland, in some of the smaller destinations that offer the authentic nature experiences and phenomena like Northern Lights, Indians can get a little bit bored with just seeing the nature phenomena. They want to be a little bit active after they've seen the nature and go for shopping. Also, entertainment is quite important. So, for example, in Oulu, we have a very lively nightlife, and I see our Indian clientele participating very actively with the locals in the nightlife as well. And cultural experiences, museums and musicals and so forth are their all-time favorites. And of course, experiencing local cuisine. And even though I mentioned that Indian clients, they do prefer to have Indian cuisine, but especially the younger generation is very eager to taste the local food and are also very interested in stories of the locals and the origin of the food, sustainability. And I've seen, especially visiting here in the north of Finland, where we have a big indigenous community, they are interested in visiting the local indigenous people and learning from their culture. So create an interesting trends altogether.
I love it. The curiosity and the interest, you know, in really reaching out to sort of new cultures, of course, is really what travel, in my mind, should be all about. And I love a little bit of Bollywood added to the Finnish nightlife as well, if I may add that. All good and well. However, there are always challenges as well when we try to do the very best we can. We know the topic of visa and getting visas to our travelers can sometimes be a very big challenge. What does that whole sort of situation look like today? And might you have some ideas and suggestions as to how we can handle this area better?
Well, I've been looking at this from the Finnish point of view when I've been promoting Finland for the Indian market. And the message has been very clear. It is very difficult to get a visa for Finland, and it's pretty much the same for other European countries. Finland is very slow, but it has plans of issuing altogether 20,000 business visas for this year. So I hope that in business travel, the process has been a little bit smoother than for lesser industry. But I think that there are some countries that have become winners. Dubai has a five-year program for visa with multiple entries. South Africa is simplifying visa scheme starting from 2025. There are countries like Malaysia, Kenya, Thailand, Iran, who have scrapped the visa completely. I've seen a lot of interest in African safaris from the Indian clients, especially luxury safaris. So this can become a great advantage for the South African tourism or African tourism. Well, the Schengen zone has introduced a new cascade system, which will allow Indian visitors to get a short stay visa twice in the last year and then may apply for multiple entry tourist visa for the two next years. So it might be helping a little bit in getting into the Schengen area, but it can take months to get the Schengen visa. It requires a lot of paperwork and appointments, and it's very notoriously difficult actually to find appointments to get the visa applications in. And I think that the process has become very harsh and even humiliating to Indians. When I was visiting Mumbai just a couple of weeks ago, I saw, you know, lines of hundreds of meters of long waiting for the visa application office in the American embassy, and people standing in the heat waiting for their turn. So this is not the way that tourism should be. It should be easy, it should be fun, and people shouldn't be required to have lots of paperwork like bank statements and invitation letters to be able to enjoy the world. And then, of course, there's also the fact that when there are rejection letters, there might not be any explanations, and the tourists, Indian tourists, find themselves bewildered why they were actually rejected. Why did they not get permission to travel? So I think these are some of the things that we need to overcome and make it much easier for the Indian tourists to travel in the future.
Indeed. And it reiterates yet again how incredibly important it is for the travel industry to work very, very closely with governments and actually, you know, steer and give certain guidelines, just as what you've said here. If you get rejected, it will be good to know where you made a mistake in that application so you don't sit and do it exactly and make the same mistake again the next time. Just one little thing. Now, let's jump over. What types of events and destinations are sort of most popular with Indian corporations, to your mind?
Well, MICE has had very consistent growth in the past years. And for example, in Finland, we've had growth of 59% in overnight stays in 2023. And sometimes it is actually easier to get the business visas. I think Indians are very interested in technical visits. They are interested in innovation, pharma, clean tech, green tech, technology altogether. So cities that have these kind of offerings and good venues are known for their MICE venues. They are the winners.
Again, we see this obviously growing worldwide, and it's just good to have your finger on the pulse in terms of what this particular audience is interested in. I want us also to touch on weddings, because nothing like a wedding and nothing like an Indian wedding. Luckily enough, I have attended one a while back. So tell us, how can destinations position themselves to attract Indian couples who are getting married, particularly outside of Europe?
Well, destination weddings are becoming very popular. Italy, Greece, Spain have become very popular in destination weddings. I think Europe's romantic allure makes it the ideal wedding destination, but also Asia is very popular because of the closeness to the Indian market. I think people are looking for authentic wonders of nature, like Northern Lights, to create these experiences. And also, don't forget the engagement parties. I think destinations need to have luxury services. The demands are, the requests are quite demanding. Destinations need to have great connections, good cuisine, be prepared for imported chefs and staff. Remember that these groups might be hundreds or over 1,000 people when they travel. So there might be even charter flights that are being requested. And then, of course, social media has become a big part of destination weddings. So beautiful sceneries and authentic experiences that you can capture in images are very important.
Wow, I love it. It is time for us to slowly wrap up. But YT, based on your experience, I really would like, maybe there's a little list, 3-5 tips that you can give us in terms of what destination should keep in mind to attract the Indian traveler. And you've touched on a few already.
I think that you need to choose a specific segment that you want to target and make sure that you're prepared for it. You need to spend money and time and resources to get connected. You need to have a local presence in India. I found it very, very important. You need to understand that India is a very special and demanding market. So it requires a lot of tailor-made products. You need to have India specialized DMCs and understand there are lots of small tour operators. You need to organize a lot of FAMs, make food priority, and then network, network, network. Those are my tips for the destinations.
Thank you, YT, for joining us today. You really have been a true travel hero. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fascinating learning more about the habits of the Indian traveler. Thanks also to our audience for listening today. Next month, we turn our attention to the topic of adventure travel. We know that the area of tours and activities is a big topic, so let's explore where adventure travel fits into the mix and what it really means. We're very excited to dive in with a top industry expert, namely Shannon Stowell of ATTA. Thanks again for listening, and safe travels.